May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So I did give a title to this sermon. Carl, do you remember what I told you it was?
Something about apocalypse.
We're going to talk about the apocalypse today. Yeah, isn't that just so exciting? I told Carl it's going to be called Apocalyptic Moment. And I think Carl didn't put it there because...
I couldn't spell it.
There you go. I so appreciate it. And I was going to say that, but it's much better that that just came from you. Yes. So, and if you use the K instead of the C, that's the Greek, so it would not have mattered. But let's flip over to the next page.
Sorry, the next screen. How many of you remember seeing this photo? Anybody remember seeing this photo? If you remember seeing this photo, you have been here 3 years.
Yes.
You have been here because we're marking now the going forward of the 3 years that we had started worship here. And so what that means is now we have cycled through what's called the common lectionary, where we go through each one of the Gospels. And this is where we started 3 years ago. So I'm not going to quiz you, not to worry. And not to worry, this isn't the same sermon that I gave 3 years ago, because we're in a different place 3 years later. But this is what Caesarea Philippi would have looked like back then. So notice, first of all, the biggest thing that you see there is what? The rock. You see the rock. And then over, way over to the left, there is three sort of columns there in front of a hole. I don't know if you can kind of see that. That right there is the temple that was built to Augustus Caesar. Guess who built that? Herod, the king of the Jews. Yes, Herod built that. And this tent, so right behind there, see where that kind of hole in the rock is? That is the Grotto of Pan. And Pan was a Greek god, sort of half man. I'm so happy that you're shaking your head, George, because George is our historian. And if he goes no like this, that means I got that history part of this one. So, and he was half man, half goat. Okay? And right there is what they called the Gate of Hades. So that was, and Hades is not hell. I don't want you to think of it as heaven and hell. It was the place where the dead went. Okay, so think of Hades, Sheol, you've heard of that. It's the place where the dead went into what was they called Middle Earth. To the right of that was kind of like a little area. I wrote it over here.
I can move the book. I can move the book. Was the court of Pan. To the right of that, now you've got four columns, that's the temple of Zeus, okay, a Roman god. Going over to the right up on top, you're going to see the court of Nemesis. To the right, all the way to the right, there's a tomb. Of the temple of the sacred goats, and then right over to the right, a big area over there is the temple of Pan and the dancing goats. This is what they were looking at. This area used to be called Peneus before. It then got changed to be named Caesarea Philippi, and it was named Caesarea Philippi by Herod Philip, giving praise to Caesar and also to himself. So this is what they were looking at. I want you to keep that in mind. The northernmost part of Galilee, it's a border town. And it is right here when they are looking at this, you can see it, that Jesus asks them this question. Who do people say that I am? And the disciples easily answer that, right? Because they know what people are gossiping, right? We all know gossip. Well, who do they say that, who do people say that I am, Jesus saying them? And they answer him, oh, some think you're Elijah, come back to life. Some think that you're Jeremiah. You know, some think think that you're John the Baptist, you know, or some other prophet. But then Jesus asks them, as they're looking at this, who do you say that I am? Who do you say? And that's a plural you. And the first person to answer that is Peter. Peter answers immediately. He blurts out, and I say he blurts out, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. It's almost as if Peter is about to say, well, did I just say that? Like, did that just come from me? Because Peter didn't even think about it. It just came out. It's a revelation. It's an uncovering of what is. It's a revealing, right? Because that's that word, revealed. But you know what that word really is? Apocalyptic. It's an apocalyptic moment. The Greek word, apokalupo. We tend to think in modern times, especially in the 20th century, that apocalypse means the end of time and all these terrible things that are going to happen. The word apocalypse means uncovering, a revealing. And this is a divine revelation. And Jesus calls it for what it is, right? Jesus says, flesh, human flesh and blood, that's not how you know this. It is the revealing, the apokalupo of the divine that has been given to you. And as soon as that unveiling and that uncovering comes about, Jesus then blesses Peter, gives Peter a new name, right? So before his name was Simon, now he calls him Petros, Peter, Rock, and he gives him a new vocation. You're going to help me build the church. That's what you're going to do. It's my church. I'm doing the building, and it's on the statement that you just made that you are going to help gather the peoples. The revelation, the assembly, the church. There's only two places in the Gospels, and it's in Matthew, that that word ecclesia is used, the assembly of the people, and it's both in Matthew. And the most important thing that Jesus says to him is that death will not prevail. The church will always be present. The people of God worshiping the living God will always be. And that's what they're looking at while Jesus makes that proclamation. What you see in this world will not be. I am telling you about a new kingdom that will come. Living versus not living. If you overlook these temples, right, that I just talked about, the houses of worship, what are they worshiping? Gods that are dead. Think about that. Augustus Caesar, that's a shrine to Augustus Caesar who is no longer alive. Pan, the god, is dead. Zeus, the god, is dead. These are not gods. These are not living gods. Not at all. It's here that the living God is made known and revealed. So there's a new rock that's forming, a new community. This assembly that is founded on the identification of God as the living God. What does it mean when we talk about a living God? A God who's contextual, a God who is with us, a God who is relevant. Well, I want to put these words side by side. This is what an alive God is like and feels like. A God who is aware. A God who is responsive. A God who is reactive. I'm not talking reactive in a negative way, but a God who reacts to how we engage God. A God who is capable of feeling. A God who breathes. A God who exists. Who is contemporary, meaning with time. A God who is present, who is remaining, who is everywhere, and who is always. That's what Peter is revealing. a living God. Well, what's the opposite of that? It's a God who's not alive. It's a God who's over, who's gone, who is no more, who's a thing of the past, who's obsolete, who's extinct, who's lifeless, who has expired, who's departed, who's finished, who is irrelevant. That's a God who has no life. And I'm going to say that is a God who is a noun versus a God who is a verb and very much alive. Shrines, museums, and I dare say churches and temples are built to gods who are no more. And people go and they visit those places. Yet, for a living God, it is a group of people in which the living God is present wherever those people are. They don't worship together and in a shrine-like place. Not at all. It's not a museum. It is a place where they hear God's word spoken, where they receive the grace in the bread and the wine, where the waters of baptism are poured, where songs are sung, and where the word is preached. And then guess what? They don't stay there. They go out and encounter the living God in the world. That is what Jesus is doing here. There's a new rock. See that rock? All of those shrines are built out of that rock. And what Jesus is saying, there's a new rock. And I am going to help build that church, those people. You know, God continues to reveal today. We have apocalyptic moments. We're so scared of apocalypse, but it's a revealing. It's an uncovering. It is God telling us something new. What are your moments of apocalypse? Where and when have you experienced a God who is revealing? Because you know something? Each and every day, you have these encounters. I call them living faith sightings. You can call them whatever it is that you want. But I can tell you in the times in which I have experienced the living God, the times when I have felt the living God the most strongest is when I'm done. Has anybody ever just been done? You can't take one more horrible thing that has happened. And you just say, I am done. And when you say that and you give it all over, all of a sudden you're filled with the living God, with the Holy Spirit. I found that by the side of the bed of loved ones who have passed. I have found that in the hospital. Every place I looked, there were apocalyptic moments. I found that in worship at different times, not all the time, but at different times where there's a particular hymn that is sung that brings me to tears as I am asking God over and over and over to answer a question or to give direction. And in one single verse, boy, it comes screaming through. Okay, I'm like, I heard that loud and clear. When I am alone, there are apocalyptic moments. And you know something? There are apocalyptic moments that happen in a crowded place for me. When Carl and I are hiking, all of a sudden, I feel the majesty and the awness of this living God that it will bring me to tears. And yes, when I'm listening sometimes to music at home, I go around and I close all the blinds because I'm feeling the presence of the Holy Spirit and I just want to dance. And I don't want my neighbor saying, what the heck is she doing in there? Where's Carl? What's going on? It just is something that will overcome you and you can't help but have it pour out of you. Each of you are having these moments, yet we're afraid to talk about them. And you laugh because I think maybe you've done the same thing, that we've all experienced this. And Peter had this moment. I wonder if Peter even realized that he was having this moment. Because when you come back next week, you're going to hear what happens just a few verses later where Peter doesn't get it right. Because that's just exactly how we are. There are some things that will just pour out of us and it'll be like, did I just say that? Sometimes I'll write them, did I just write that? That clearly wasn't me. Those are apocalyptic moments. So when you experience them, what are you supposed to do with them? Do we hide them? Do we run from them? Or do we share them and tell other people about them? Here's what I want you to do this week. I want you to take intentional time, wherever that may be. It can be for those of you who have children and you're waiting on that, like, what seems like forever car line to pick up your children. Or it can be when you are alone at home, wherever you might be. Sometimes for me, it's just hanging on my noodles, swimming in the community pool. But this is what I want you to answer this question. I want you to imagine that God is asking you, who do people say I am? And don't give the answer Elijah and all that kind of thing. Think today, who do people say Jesus is? And then answer the more important question, who do you say that I am? And don't rush to answer the question. Wait for the insight. Wait for the uncovering. Wait for the revealing. Wait for the apocalyptic moment, because it will come. And then, as you answer that question, recognize that Jesus is saying, blessed are you, beautiful child of God. And here's now what I call you to do. Amen.